Now, I want to call Sarah up here. Sarah's our family pastor, and also Stephen and Tricia Stringer. And as Stephen and Tricia come on up here, we're going to shift gears and begin talking for the rest of our gathering about some of what's happening in our parish family ministries. We want to give you a glimpse into that. And the best way to do that is to model some of what's happening in our family ministry areas. And so the way that we'll do that is by talking about one of the major things that happens down there, which we call storying. And this idea came up from the Stringers. I'll let Sarah share more about that here in just a minute. But first of all, if you have not met Stephen and Tricia, they oversee global strategy at Serve, which is a missions organization based out of Roswell. And the majority of the missionaries that they work with are non-American. And so Stephen and Tricia are often traveling, and they are working with these missionaries. They are training alongside them. If you don't see Stephen and Tricia here on Sunday, it's because literally they may be anywhere in the world. And I mean, like, it's incredible the places that you all are on a regular basis. My geography expands every time I talk to y'all. I'm like, is that a real place, really? So it's fantastic, the reach and the scope of the work you're doing. Tricia leads the trauma healing ministry at Serve, as well as the Bible translation ministry, and Stephen co-leads the Bible translation ministry, as well as the church planting and evangelism and theological education ministry. And Stephen just completed his doctorate in theology as well. And so we're really grateful for the work you all do. We want to talk about how that work is showing up here at the parish, so I'll turn that over to you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. I met with Tricia and Stephen over a year ago, and as I was hearing more about their story and the incredible work that they are doing, they told me about this way of telling Bible stories that they had been involved in for over 20 years, and I was so drawn to what they had to share with me that I was really excited about how can I bring this way of sharing God's word to our family ministry and to our community at large. So we had a training last summer where they trained several of our family ministry leaders in this way of telling Bible stories, and it has been really neat to see the impact and the fruit that is coming from it. And so today, as we planned this semi-family service with our elementary kids and up in the room with us, I wanted to give you a glimpse into what is it like for our kids to hear God's word. And as I thought about how I wanted to share more about storying with you, I thought, well, who better to have come up and share than Tricia and Stephen? So I'm really thankful to have you guys here with us this morning. So Tricia, would you just tell us a little bit about your journey in storying and how you got started with it?
Sure. Thank you, guys. It was almost exactly 24 years ago that we moved to Benin, West Africa, with our young family. And we were there to do a Bible translation project. So this was a small language group, one of the almost 7,000 in the world that don't have the full Bible in their own language. So yes, that's right, you heard me, almost 7,000 that don't have the Bible in their language. So we were there to learn the language, write it down, it wasn't a written language yet, and to translate the Bible. Pretty soon, we learned that the plan was not going to work exactly as we thought it would. Imagine that. So we got started, but about 3 months in, my new friend from across the street came over to my house, and she was sitting with me, and she saw this book on the table, and she said, "Hey, what's that book?" I said, "Well, it's a Bible." And she said, "Well, I've never seen a Bible." Now, in this people group, there was not a single person that we knew of who was a follower of Jesus. And so I started to tell her about the Bible, and it was a French Bible, and she could read some French. So she said, "Hey, could I have one?" So I gave her the Bible. Well, the next day, she showed up at the door, and she said, "Okay, so I started reading it yesterday. I don't understand a word of it. Do you think you could just come over and read this book with me?" So I quickly realized, you know, French was her third or fourth language, my second language, right? Just sitting and reading this book together was not going to do the job, right? So we had heard in our missionary training that there was this thing called telling Bible stories. So I went to my bookshelf, I found a book, ironically, about telling Bible stories, and I got it out, and I hurriedly, over the week, memorized the creation story in French. And so I went over to her house the next week, and we muddled through the creation story. And then the next week, and the next week, and every week, I went back with a new Bible story. And we talked about it, and we sat for hours just discussing it. In week 4, we were on the story of Noah. And you guys know that story, right? And you can imagine the stories we told before then, right? Creation, fall, Cain and Abel, right? We're at Noah. And at the end of the story, she said, okay, so I think I'm seeing a pattern here. People make mistakes. God loves them. He wants a relationship with them. How is he going to restore people to himself? Do you know? That hooked us. And from that moment on, that really started this 24-year journey into sharing Bible stories with people so that they can really understand God's word at a heart level. And I would say that over the years, we've seen God's story shape our stories, people's stories. It's changed our lives completely, and we've seen it change many people's lives.
Thanks, Tricia. Stephen, I'm sure you, I know you have lots of stories about how storying has impacted people's lives, but would you just share one with us this morning?
Sure. I can't tell you how long I've been waiting to have the microphone in church. I would like to share with you one of my favorite stories about Natalie. Natalie is a young woman. She's 40, but that's really young to us. Natalie is Lebanese. She had a thriving business in a Middle Eastern country, not Lebanon. And while she was there, she met Jesus. She became a believer, and God called her to go back to Lebanon to share the gospel. When she got there, she realized that she didn't really know the Bible very well, and she was a woman in a male-dominated society, and then the country sort of started falling apart. The economy fell apart, she just didn't know what to do. And then on top of that, there was this massive explosion. I think many of you maybe can remember about this explosion. And many people lost their lives, and many people were traumatized, including Natalie. Natalie didn't know what to do. But she thought, at least, she could be an interpreter for the Americans who were coming to help. And then there was one team that wasn't coming to hand out water, but was coming to listen and share stories from God's word. And she met the most beautiful woman in the world. And this woman just walked in the streets with her, and she listened. And then she would share a story from God's word. And as Natalie was learning these stories and telling them, she began to experience healing for herself. And she began to experience who God really was and what his love was like. And then she began telling the stories. And when the Americans left, she kept telling the stories. And she started groups of people who would gather around these stories of God's word. And one of the groups, I love this group. I got to meet them last summer. One of those groups is a group of women in a very poor, deprived area of Beirut. And these women had they were part of the closest people to the blast site. And they started to tell these stories and experience the stories from God's word. And these women were changed. Funny enough, all of the women in this group, their husbands are jihadists. And one of them was explaining to us exactly how these stories had changed her life. And she said, so my husband had an opportunity. His family was going to provide for us so that we could move out of this area to a nicer area. And my husband refused. He told his family, no, every week my wife goes to this group and she listens to these stories and she has changed so much. There's no way I'll move away from that. She needs to hear these stories. And so Natalie continues to share these stories. She received healing and she's giving that healing to other people through the stories from God's word. And now she's bringing another young woman along with her, and every month they go to Syria. And they work with the Syrian church, and they share these stories from God's word that bring healing and hope to people who really have never heard it before.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah. Very impactful work that you're doing. So you might be thinking, well, Sarah, why, you know, I see how this is impactful, you know, for these people groups that don't have, you know, access to Scripture in their own language, but we have, do you know how many children's Bibles there are out there that you can get? And yes, we do. We have so many wonderful resources for children, and we have so many resources for us. We can read, listen to all the translations that we want to. We have a lot of access here, and there is something special about this way of sharing God's word. It has been really neat to see in our kids' environments how eager they are to hear the stories. They are hanging on every word that the storyteller says, and they're so curious. At the beginning of the morning, it's, what story is it today? And I love that excitement and curiosity is being brought to these kids about Scripture. And like Stephen said, you know, the gospel brings healing and hope. No matter who you are, and no matter where you live, and no matter what age you are. And so that is what our hope is. Our hope is that by bringing God's word in this way to our kids and our kids' environments, that we are exposing them to Scripture, and that we are letting them experience Scripture. We are letting them be a part of the story and realize how they are connected to God's big story, and how the story of Jesus can bring healing into their own lives. And so this morning, we wanted to give you a glimpse into that. So we are all going to hear God's word today through storying. And Kristen, our parish kids director, is going to tell the story this morning like she does. And we have a team of about 10 storytellers here at the parish. And I'll tell you, as being one who has done storying, who has been the storyteller, it really is very meaningful for the storyteller to sit with the Scripture long enough. And they encourage us to listen to it, not to read it, because it does something, you know, different in our brains. And I can't tell you all the science there. But we internalize the story. And then when we internalize the story, it does change us. And we get to carry it out, and we get to share it with others. So this morning we're going to get to experience God's word that way. Usually in the basement we tell the story twice, and we ask, after we tell the story, we ask some questions, and Kristen is going to get to, we're going to get to experience that this morning together as a community. So we're glad that y'all are here to be a part of it, and thank you, Tricia and Stephen, for just bringing this to us and helping guide us along the way.
Okay. All right, if you're in elementary, especially K through 4th, you guys can come up here. We're going to listen to the story, okay? Here, Render, you can come sit over here, bud. You want to come sit next to Patrick? All right. Yeah, y'all come on. Come on. Yeah. My name's Kristen. I am one of the parish kids directors, and I have the privilege of being downstairs in the basement with K through 4th most Sundays at the 10:30 service. And like Sarah said, storying has been really special this year as a staff member, as somebody who gets to tell stories, but also as a mother. I have a kindergartner. And to see the way that storying has really impacted my own family has been a special gift. But this year, during Lent in elementary, we've been talking about Holy Week. So we talked about Palm Sunday and the crowds cheering for Jesus, and we talked about the Last Supper and Jesus washing his disciples' feet and Jesus praying in the garden. And last week, Mr. John told us the story about Mary Magdalene going to the garden where Jesus was buried and finding things a little different than she expected. Do you guys remember what happened? What did she find?
She found an empty tomb,
that's right. And she ran back and she had gotten John and Peter and they came back and they found an empty tomb. And they left feeling kind of confused, but Mary stuck around and she ended up seeing some angels and she saw a gardener. And once the gardener had said her name, Mary, she realized it wasn't a gardener, it was Jesus. And what did Jesus tell her to do? What? Go tell the others, that's right. And that's what she did. She went and told the disciples. Well, later on that night, so Sunday evening, the disciples were all together in a house, and they had heard from Mary that she saw Jesus, that he was alive, and they had heard from Peter and John that they didn't really see much of anything, and they are scared. They have all the doors locked. They're not sure. They've seen the religious leaders convince a crowd to kill Jesus a couple days earlier, and they're feeling scared. So they're hiding out in this house when all of a sudden, Jesus is standing there. And he says, guys, I'm here to bring you peace. And he shows them his hands and his side, and they are so surprised and excited. And can you imagine how you would feel if you saw someone you thought you would never see again? But he repeats himself. He says, hey, guys, I'm here to bring you peace. And just like God sent me here for you, I want to send you out to others. And he had them sit down, and like God had breathed life into Adam in the garden at the very beginning, Jesus breathed on his disciples a new life, a new beginning. And he said, this is my Holy Spirit, and I want you to go tell people the good news so that they might believe and their sins would be forgiven. Because if you don't go, they won't believe and their sins won't be forgiven. Well, one of the disciples, Thomas, he wasn't there with them that day. He was hiding somewhere else, and he missed it. But the next time that he was all together with the disciples, they're telling him, Thomas, you will never guess what we saw. Jesus came to be with us. He showed us his wounds. It was really Jesus. And Thomas says, no, there's no way. I cannot believe that. And they're like, no, Thomas, seriously, Jesus was here. He's alive. And Thomas says, no, unless I can put my fingers in the wounds on Jesus, I will not believe what you're telling me. Well, a week later, so not the next day, not a couple days later, 7 or 8 days later, all the disciples are together again, and they have the doors locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus is standing with them again, and he says again, hey guys, I've come to bring you peace. And then he turns and looks at Thomas, and he says, Thomas, come here, come to me. Do whatever you need to do so that you might believe. Well, Thomas walks up to Jesus and sees that it's really him and says, Jesus, it's really you, you're alive. You are my God and my King. And Jesus says to him, yeah, it's really me, Thomas. And you believe because you've seen me, but even more blessed are those who believe who haven't seen me. And there's many other things that Jesus did for his disciples, other miracles that aren't even written down. But these things, the events of Holy Week that we've talked about during Lent, the other stories that we know about Jesus, they're written down for us so that we might see and believe that Jesus is our God and King. And that is a story from God's Word. In the basement, we, like Sarah said, we tell the story twice, so this one is going to require a little crowd participation. So I'm going to have, can I have you five be some disciples? Yeah? Okay. And do you want to be Thomas? Yeah? Okay. Grant, do you think that you can be Jesus? Yeah? Okay. All right, Patrick, you're going to be one of the disciples too. Okay. So you guys, disciples, come over here, and you guys can be standing together. So you won't have to, you don't have to say anything. You're just kind of acting it out as I retell the story, okay? You got it? Okay. All right, so it's Sunday night, and the disciples are all together. They're hiding out because they're feeling scared. They're feeling scared. They're not sure what's about to happen. When all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in front of them. And he says, hey, guys, I'm here to bring you peace. And he shows them his hands and his feet, and he shows them the wound in his side, and they are so excited. They cannot believe what they're seeing. And Jesus says to them again, guys, I'm here to bring you peace. And just like God sent me here for you, I'm sending you out to others. And then he had them sit down. And like God had breathed life into Adam at the beginning, Jesus breathes on his disciples. Breathe on them. And says, this is my Holy Spirit. Go tell people the good news so they might believe and their sins would be forgiven. Because if you don't go, they won't believe and their sins won't be forgiven. Well, later on, all the disciples are together again, and this time Thomas is with them. And the disciples are telling Thomas what they've seen, what Jesus told them, that he's alive. And Thomas, he says, no, I can't believe what you're telling me. They're like, no, really, we saw him. He's here. And Thomas says, no, unless I can see Jesus for myself, I won't believe. Well, a week later, all the disciples are together again, and they have the doors locked, when Jesus is with them. And Jesus says again, I'm here to bring you peace. And then he turns and looks at Thomas and says, Thomas, come here. Come over to me. Do whatever you need to do so that you might believe. And Thomas says, oh my gosh, Jesus, it's really you. You're alive. You are my God and my King. And Jesus tells Thomas, it is really me. You believe because you've seen me, but even more blessed are those who believe who haven't seen. And this is a story from God's word. Good job, guys. So in the basement, after we tell the story, they split up into their groups and go over some questions with their group leader, or we call them their coach downstairs. So we'll kind of talk out some of the stories so anybody can answer, kids, adults alike. But the first question we always ask is, what did you like about the story? The next question we ask is, what bothered you or confused you about this story?
It was Thomas the first week.
That's a good question. I was wondering that. I was like, was he like in the market? Where was he? What is going on? Yeah, I don't think I'd ever noticed that before, that a week later, they're still in the house with the doors locked. So they must still be, I don't know, scared.
I'm confused about how they got the Holy Spirit here, but then they got the Holy Spirit again later.
Yeah.
I don't understand all the details there.
Yes. And we'll do one other question. What does this story show you about God or Jesus? Well, we have really seen the kids like latch on to these questions. I think it's been a great way. This consistent, I mean, it's 6 questions consistently every week. I feel like they know to expect them and have really seen them like dive in with those. Yeah, and it's been such an awesome experience. We're so grateful to the Stringers for showing us. And yeah, thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Kristen. I just want to express my gratitude, my excitement for seeing the way this is showing up in our family ministry. And I don't know if y'all realize, like, that takes a lot of work to internalize that story, to be able to tell it in the midst of all of the movement of the room. There are hours and hours put into digesting that story and getting it into the storyteller. And Kristen, you did a masterful job just sharing with us, bringing that to us, bringing it to the kids, helping it come to life. And this is happening week after week, class after class, every time we gather here at the parish. And I'm just so encouraged by that. The Stringers bringing the awareness of this to us, Sarah catching the vision and translating this into our family ministry environments, Kristen, Shannon, others who are on our parish kids team at both the staff and then all of our volunteer storytellers who are doing this week after week. We're seeing it showing up. We're hearing stories that I wish we had more time to share of kids who are weeks later, days later, saying, "Let me tell you a story, Mom and Dad," and they have it, they remember it, and so it's just really cool to see the way that this is shaping our community, and we're grateful for it. So we wanted to give you a glimpse into that today.